Go. I used to say I'm the boss. Dave Heat and Tomas, they doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm set nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Oh man, that's me. Here comes Heath. Let's go.
Yeah, and B-Boys.
Hee-hee.
Uh-huh. Saints. Yeah, and B-Boys. I love this book.
There it is. Welcome in another week, another edition, the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live at the SEC Sports Pub with me. To my right, Heath Elson-Son. To my left, Tomas Mauricio. I'm Dave Romero, and I'm your host. And for the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking more Saints and useless information than anyone needs to know about. So from Rustin to Monroe, grab a drink, sit back, relax, because we're about to do the SEC Sports Pub and 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, BS and Beer style. Gentlemen, we're back on track. New Orleans wins the game 31-21 in the Superdome. It was rocking. They're setting records with the little sound meter thing that they have. And the thing that got me the most was I just didn't realize how thick the glasses were on Ron Rivera. It was kind of, I'm looking at him. He's coming. It looks like he's wearing like the Hubble telescope. You know, it's just like, I can't, you know, I was.
Well, he definitely can't see. I mean, some of the calls that he's arguing down on the field proves that the man can't see anything.
I mean,
he's clueless.
He gets overexcited. And if it doesn't, at least to me, it says something about maybe why Cam Newton behaves the way he does, because of just a lack of discipline from the coach on down. And I, again, I guess you can't expect that you can control Cam Newton, but at some point you would think that a coach would, that had garnered enough respect would be able to.
Has
if
he garnered
to,
enough respect?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I mean, they were in the Super Bowl last year. So
what?
Or a couple of years ago.
And they lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was garnering respect.
Well, the old-timers would say that a team is a reflection of his coach.
That's correct.
Things have changed. You know, definitely things have changed with how they handle players and what you can and can't do with them and tell them. But, you know, it could definitely be all part of it.
Well, I'll tell you what. We have all kinds of good stuff. We're going to have John Hendricks on today. We also have the good, bad, and ugly we usually have. And you know what? We usually kind of go over the top pick, you know, the winners from the Pick'em contest,
right,
at least,
right.
You know, like this week. I'm not going to do that because last time Tomas had me nodding off, and I know he had a bad week. Do the top 10. Tomas
had a bad
does.
Week.
No, yeah. I'm just saying, Tomas turns it into the top 30 so he can get his name in there. And if he has a bad week, then we'll be here the whole first segment.
Don't be a hater.
The whole first segment, just so Tomas can get to his name. You know,
head's
banging on the table.
Let's see how it works. It's
we won't cover that. We will get into it in the second hour.
Okay.
Picks, it's getting tight. There's, somebody's going to win some money. I'm not sure who they are because I haven't been paying that much attention because I'm out of it.
Yeah.
I'm doing well in fantasy, though. My fantasy team, I'm like the Saints, and I don't have one Saint. Since Tomas joined my fantasy league, I don't get one
Saints
Saint.
Available.
Like, yeah, it's over. He overvalues. Like, first pick is Drew, then it goes on down the line, and every time you're like, oh, I think that guy's a good value in the third round, he goes in the second. You know, you're like, so I have no Saints on my team, but yet. My team is a reflection of how the Saints have played this year. I've gone on like an 8-game win streak. Except I didn't lose that one that they lost to the Rams. I'm on it.
Yeah.
I'm on it. Yeah. So
I'm on an 8-game losing streak.
Matter of fact, did you guys see the Monday Night Football game a couple of nights ago? You have Shazier, if I'm pronouncing it right, and looks like they took him off on a stretcher and
compressed vertebra.
Yeah, may not be able to.
He had the same injury that Tommy Maddox had when he was quarterbacking the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Tommy Maddox, the quarterback.
Yeah, same injury, and Maddox came back 1 week later.
And then, Juju Smith.
Now, that was a good hit.
Lays out perfect. Now,
that was a good hit.
In this day and age, that's an illegal hit.
No, it's not. That was a football play.
But, look, I'm not one of those people who advocate violence in football. Like, you know, if it's unnecessary.
Why not? It's football.
You know what? I feel you. I understand how you feel. I'm telling you how I feel. If it's unnecessary.
That was necessary.
If it was perfect on the other end.
That was necessary.
That does increase the necessity of it. So, but, I mean, because he's always out there causing some kind of problem, doing something.
Last time we talked about wrestling. Did you see the wrestling hit?
No.
That was in the Patriot game.
Oh, Gronkowski. Talk about that,
that was
for
a move
a
run out of Ernie that, the Cat Lab.
That yeah. was just horrible. That was some grappling stuff.
That one he should be yeah. suspended for at yeah, least no, a couple of games.
You know, and I think there's something that needs to happen with the whole consistency of the refereeing.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, a guy needs to be kicked. If you take out one of my players, he needs to go that game. Because it's kind of silly that the guy doesn't get kicked out. So you're saying the guy hits one of your players, maybe takes him out of the game, and he doesn't get suspended. But then he's going to get suspended next week.
Right.
Where it doesn't give you any benefits. So you might have lost a receiver, but their defensive back gets to stay in the game. Then yeah. next week when they're playing maybe someone that you need them to lose to, yeah. well, no, he can't. He's out of the game. He's suspended. Referees, and I don't know, it's probably mandated by the NFL. But these referees, I just don't understand.
Well, here's
how in the world did Gronkowski not get kicked out of that game?
Right,
how did that happen?
So here's my biggest problem. They changed all of this stuff. I clean my language. They changed this stuff, and they said, okay, every single play goes through New York. So that's why they don't have to go to the little booth with the headset. And now they do it on the field with the Microsoft Surface thing. It's because they're not really making the call. New York's making the call. So if New York is making a call, they should be able to say, you know what? He's gone. Toss him out. He's gone for the rest of this game and one more. Well, I'd be fine with that.
Right.
You know, but they don't do that. Gronkowski obviously was ticked off. Now, I understand. I've watched the play several times. The guy that was covering him was holding him. Grabbed him. And so the guy intercepted the ball. So he was ticked off. But, dude, you don't do a body slam on a guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know?
That was just horrid. I mean, like, this cowardly.
Yeah.
To hit a guy laying on the ground, or the thing that Evans did to Lattimore where you hit him in the back. If you mad, turn around, face the guy up, and
yeah.
fight him.
Yeah.
And I just, it's not like, look, I'm not trying to imply, because Gronkowski's a big meathead. I'm sure he could turn around and beat that little guy up. But for him to sit there and do that, that was so cowardly. And God forbid if that guy ends up with some kind of injury. Yeah, you know, to yeah. his spine or to his neck or concussion because of Gronkowski. What? Oh, I'm sorry. The guy was irritating you.
Yeah.
He was frustrating you. Isn't that what he's supposed to do? Yeah. If I had a Saints defensive back that was like, man, I irritated, name the player, you know, this really great receiver all game long. I got under his skin. Well, good job.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so,
exactly.
So the guy did a good job, and what he deserves is why he's laying on the ground. You dive and form in the back
like I said,
of the head.
See, that was a cheap hit. Now, but the Juju's, I thought that was a clean football play.
They don't allow that anymore, like the blindside
hit. Did he
hit
him with his helmet? No.
No, but.
Was the receiver being hit?
Listen, you're making an argument.
You're making an argument.
No, the rule is you can't hit a defenseless player. Doesn't matter who he is. So that's where the rule. Now, you can agree or disagree with the rule, but. By the letter of the law, he hit a guy who was defenseless and wasn't.
It was worth it.
Yeah, yeah. But it was no, serious. If it was anybody else but Burfict, I'd be yeah. much more upset about it. But Burfict is just, he's a guy that I don't know if he belongs in the league either. Hey, here's something interesting that I want you guys to hear about. Okay, so we played Carolina both times. And outside of, you can argue the 21 points that Carolina got, you know, one of them was in garbage time.
Right.
The other one was off of a turnover that, and if Hill doesn't fumble that ball, we're heading towards a blowout.
Right.
But here's the thing. So I start thinking, well, man, Carolina's defense is that great. Here's Carolina's defense against the NFL, excluding the Saints. 17.3 points a game. That's fourth in the NFL. 280.9 yards per game, and that's first in the NFL. But against the Saints, they are 32.5 points per game and 381 yards per game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that says something that, you know, we go in here, we go up against the Rams, we don't play that well, you start wondering, oh, man, it's the offense, this and that. Listen, that is a top-notch defense that we dismantled twice.
Yeah.
So, just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, 110 yards rushing in the first half and 21 points. That was the most yards and points in any half against Carolina this season. You know, and they made it look easy.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's the thing. They ran the ball. They threw the ball. There was a little bit early in the game. Breeze missed a pass to Thomas. That would have been a pretty big play.
Yeah.
But he settled in, and things got we just got rolling. It was just the screen game was working. Kamara was playing incredibly well. Big run with Ingram. I mean, listen, lots of stuff to talk about. We're going to take this first break, and when we come back, we're going to get to the good, the bad, the ugly. John Hendricks a little bit later in the first hour. We got a Tomas rant later. It's 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. It's the BS and Beer Podcast Crew.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Yeah. 31-21. Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. Sports Talk 97.7. New Orleans Saints win 31-21. That's nine games now. Three losses. We took a little pressure off ourselves, Heath. Going into this game, I was complaining last week. How do you go on an eight-game win streak, lose one game,
yeah,
and now you're like, man, we're fighting for the division title. I mean, like, things could have come unraveled if we lost that game.
Yeah, I mean, it was a must-win, really, for both teams. You know, and the NFC South is by far the toughest division. I mean, I think they showed it during the game. It's a 61% win percentage in the division. Oh, the next closest was, I think, maybe 51, or, you know, it wasn't even, really? It's not even close. So
the Saints, tough division. Now we have a tough game tomorrow against the Atlanta Falcons, and we're going to be playing Atlanta twice in the next three games.
Weeks, right.
So the thing about it is there is some breathing room. Now it's a big game, but there is some breathing room. We have the lead over Carolina, but we do play Atlanta twice, and we cannot. What I don't want to do is, if we lose this game, then that will turn the next Atlanta game into a must win almost, and that's assuming that we beat the Jets in between.
Right.
I mean, it just, you would think when you're playing as well as we've played, you rip off that many games.
Yeah.
That at some point, but the NFL, that's one thing, Tomas, I think the NFL got right. They put these division games late in the season, and you rip off all these wins, and at the end of the, it still turns into like a 4 or 5 game season.
No, yeah. I appreciate them putting it towards the end of the season, but putting us Falcon, one game Falcon, to me, that's just not, that was kind of stupid, you know? I can see, you know, hey, you know, we get to the last third of the season. All right, we have a division, maybe two in between, another division, two in between, another. I can see that. That'd be okay. But I just don't see, you know, we're playing Atlanta, short week Thursday, then we have a long week, play one game, and then we have a regular week, and we're back to Atlanta again. You know, it's kind of tough to me.
Yeah, but, I don't like that. Yeah,
but I think, you know, now Atlanta's favored. You know, the spread is almost 3 points, 2.5, I think.
Right.
So Atlanta's favored in the Mercedes Dome. Because theirs is called the same thing.
Oh, yeah. They knock off everything.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, but I just will remind everyone that it doesn't change anything about 28-3. Okay, let's go on.
Nothing changes that.
No, it does not.
Atlanta's going to be a tough game. We'll talk more about it.
Do you have a prediction
in
already
the second
for
hour? I do when we get down to it. We have our picks at the bottom of the second hour.
All right.
But I think it's going to be a tough game.
By the way, you know, we're doing these picks, but have anybody been contacting you about what they're picking? I mean, have they called you on that hotline? What is that hotline
matter of fact,
number, by the
way? Tomas, I got to thank you for bringing that up. The graffiti hotline.
Ah, yeah.
We do have. We have four graffiti hotline calls.
See,
matter of fact, the number is 701-901-1295. You keep me on track. I like that.
All right, sir.
Or you can email us at bsandbeer@icloud.com.
And
you
we'll
can follow
too.
Me on Twitter at SaintsBS. Tomas.
BS and Beer. Who dat?
Who dat? And Heath.
Got nothing BS.
Follow us on Twitter, man.
Not
let's talk
spelled as they do in rain, so make sure you spell it correctly.
You got to spell it right. You got to spell it right. But listen, I tell you what we should do real quick. Let's take one of these hotline calls.
Go ahead.
So that we can get that going, because we got so many, we got to squeeze them in.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's the Cali Cajun. You know, a lot of people want to talk about Kamara right now, and rightfully so. But I think the bigger thing that's really kind of helped us turn around this year is the whole draft class in general. I mean, even guys like Anzalone, who aren't even playing anymore because they got hurt. I mean, Ramczyk has been amazing. He's been able to play on both sides. That's been huge. You can tell how important Williams is with him being out the last couple of games. I mean, Lattimore, obviously. Kamara, obviously. Even guys like Hendrickson are playing. I mean, this is the best draft class that I remember seeing for any team, really. And I want to see what you all thought about that. Have a good one.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's no two ways about it. What is it? The 06, which is my favorite. Dalton Hilliard, Rumen Mays, Pat Swilling. Then you also have the one with just recently, what, an 06. Reggie Bush, Colston.
Yeah.
Golly, I can't think off the top of my head. But literally,
2006 also was Streif.
Streif was in that class, and yeah. And just off the top of my head, I'm kind of put on the spot. I can't think of it. But that was an outstanding class. To me, at this point, I don't know. I don't think that any of the other classes, as long, I guess you do have to take kind of the longevity into consideration, because hypothetically, if any of these guys turn into like, oh, they played great this year, they regressed their second year and then got injured and you never hear from them, you know, I don't know. And I guess it all depends. If we win a Super Bowl, then you could say, yeah, if they, none of them play again, the greatest draft class ever. It kind of depends on the results of the draft class. And how they produce on the field.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, right, it takes more than 1 year to be able to grade a draft class or a recruiting class in college or whatever, but it's off to a good start, right? I mean, it's probably off to as good of a start, the best start ever, probably,
If Lattimore doesn't get hurt, Tomas, I mean, he's probably Defensive Rookie of the Year.
He still might be.
No, he still might be. I'm not trying to say.
We still have critical games left. He comes back and does something in his final games. Then, you know, we get to the playoffs, and he could still be.
Absolutely. And Kamara,
no doubt.
If he's not the Offensive Rookie of the Year, then, I mean, who is? So yeah,
they're trying to make a McCaffrey and
well no
they're
I made
trying
a,
to put him into decision.
They put up this they put up a graphic and they were like combined they have and I was exact oh yeah you did
yeah,
reply
yeah,
to
yeah.
Combined they have 50 touchdowns. Well, Kamara has 45 and Caffrey has 5, so they're trying to include him in the hype of the rookie running backs. But it was like 9-3 or something like that, and I'm like, well, you know, and I'm sure McCaffrey will be a good ball player at some point. He will not be the player that Kamara is. McCaffrey is not strong enough to be an every down in between the tackles runner, and Kamara has demonstrated he can run in between the tackles, he can run on the perimeter, and he can not only catch the ball as a running back, he can line up as a wide receiver and hurt you in every situation. We stumbled onto a gold mine. Sometimes I stop and think about how successful we've been this year. Lattimore has done a lot to change the defense, but who's the one player that has that's had the biggest impact on the Saints offense? I believe the Saints are not as strong as they have been in the past at wide receiver. Ingram, I've always liked. He's a good, solid running back. But outside of that, if it wouldn't be for Kamara, I just don't know how productive our offense would be. I think that he was huge for the offense.
Well, things just fell in place at that draft. You know, when we ended up with Lattimore at the position we were in, that completely changed everything as to what our board was going to be. I can't imagine that there was one mock draft that the Saints personnel went through that came up with Lattimore being the first pick. Can't imagine there was even one. And by doing that, that completely changed what they were doing. Now, you know, you have to admit, Sean Payton has a great eye for talent and how he would use it on offense. We're not talking about defensive talent, because obviously we've sucked on defense for years. But offensively, he has a great eye. So when he saw Kamara and he ran Kamara through a few things, he already envisioned, dude, this guy's everything I've wanted to run these plays. And so, yeah, I think he's more than they thought. But, you know, again, I know you're going to say I say a lot of things, but I kind of remember saying that I liked that pick before we made it. But okay. So there you have it.
Yeah, and in fact, Payton is now saying that the Saints had him undervalued on their board, and they had him in the second round on their board. So, you know, well, right now I'd have to agree with him.
Well, and again, I think, you know, if he goes to a different team, maybe not. Because remember, he went to Alabama. Didn't pan out there. Went to Tennessee. They had him as a backup running back at Tennessee. So it really has to do with the idea that Payton had of how to use him.
Yeah.
And the imagination that Payton has in drawing up offensive schemes. And, you know, this player, as many people would say, he might be a system player. But I'm going to go back to what you said about how one can get improved or not. In the words of Dennis Green, the running back at Carolina, he is what he is. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's really going to improve. McCaffrey is McCaffrey. That's what you're going to get. However, believe it or not, I believe that Kamara can still improve.
Okay, so let me just clarify this, Tomas. You feel the guy on the other team won't get better, But the Saints player will.
Yes.
Okay, just making
yes,
sure we're on the
I
same
really,
page.
I really yeah. do think so.
I do too. But I guess what I got to say is I disagree that the other guy won't get better. He can get a little stronger. He can learn the offense better. He can learn the NFL game better. But I think everybody, and this is hard to believe, everybody gets better in that second
year. Well, I always
year.
Say that. Yeah. First, the second
you know, the quarterbacks,
improvement.
They always talk about the sophomore slump or a guy that's successful. And this I do worry about with a guy like Kamara. He gets – a little bit goes to his head, and in the offseason, he's like, this is too easy. So he doesn't work as hard as
– that's possible.
You know, and I hope that doesn't happen, and if he has the work ethic, I think he does. He won't allow that right. to happen. Right. But that's what happens, these sophomore slumps, is these guys, they have too much success. NFL quarterbacks, the reason that they don't have success in their second year is they come out, they do pretty well. NFL defenses watch the film and say, what you did well, we're going to take away from you. Now you have to – if you aren't good at throwing to the perimeter, you better become good at it, or they're going to take away
you
what
like
you did well.
Robert Griffin III?
All those guys, you can go down yeah, a list yeah. of guys
the
that found something
them,
yeah. they did well.
Yep.
NFL defenses took that away, and they were incapable of improving in the areas that they were weak.
But then you have two quarterbacks this year that obviously did that in their sophomore years, and that's Wentz and
Goff.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they stepped up. I mean, both yeah. those guys really yeah. Yeah. taking it. I mean, despite the fact that Philadelphia lost and didn't look, they had some things go against now them, like fumbling the ball out of the back of the end zone. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, I wasn't expecting to lose that game. And it just kind of shows you at Seattle, Wilson doesn't get enough credit. I think he's better, even, and maybe I should speak for myself. I don't give him enough credit, but he is outstanding, and it says something about playing in Seattle is just difficult to do.
Oh, yeah. But just to quickly, just to get back to Kamara, I agree with you that Sean Payton probably well, – not probably. He's going to know how to use this guy better than anybody. But ultimately, when he's on the field and this guy breaks somebody's ankles when he puts a cut on him or when he somehow gets hit as hard as he did close to that goal line and still went forward into the end zone, or when he's 30 yards down the field and he goes up over a DB's head and makes a catch, Sean Payton can't teach him any of that stuff.
No, you can't. Natural talent cannot be taught, but right. you can waste natural talent, because obviously he was wasted in Alabama. He was wasted at Tennessee.
Oh, absolutely. You absolutely.
Know? One of the things that I feel bad for Ingram, because as he's having a great season.
Yeah.
And I mean, who else is with me when Ingram's on the field and he's getting 4 yards and he's getting 6 yards and you're just thinking like, where's Kamara? Put Kamara in the game. The guy breaks yeah. off a 72-yard run and all I'm thinking is like, why ain't Kamara in the game?
Yeah.
And it's almost not fair to Mark Ingram, who's developed himself into an all-purpose back. He runs the ball great. He's catching the ball in the backfield. He's a Saints-type running back now. And now I'm all, oh, man, we need Kamara in the game. Kamara yeah. should be the star. It's almost not fair.
Yeah.
Well, but if you were to use Kamara the way that you use Ingram from the very beginning, he wouldn't be working out either, you know? And Ingram came in, as we were talking about during the break, Ingram came in as a real Alabama running back, which means couldn't catch the ball out the backfield, didn't know who to block. I mean, that's really
no,
it.
No, yeah. you're right. Yeah,
which
right.
is why I was so down on Ingram from the very beginning. I was like, oh, man, we wasted a draft choice. This guy's no good. And what has happened? I give every prop I can to Ingram, because he turned himself into the kind of player that makes this team go. Because he is a good running back, as you said. Now he can catch the ball out the backfield, and he knows how to block. Because that was one of the things when he first came in the first year, he had no idea who to pick up on a blocking scheme.
Right.
So he's learned to block, and he's beefed up some.
Right.
You know?
Hey, you don't have a neck when he's running. yeah. I mean, you see on that long run, it's just arms moving and legs, yeah. and like his shoulders and his neck don't move. He's just.
You're like, he's tight. No, yeah, he's got no neck.
Yeah, he got no
and
neck.
I swear he's picked up some new tricks. I've seen him do some jump cuts and all that. I didn't see Mark
much
Ingram
better
doing
than before.
In the past,
well, even on that long run, he yeah. knew he couldn't beat the guy to the end zone, and so he just turned, and so the guy had to turn around, then he turned back the other way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Whatever he's done, he's developed himself into. And you're right. He wasn't a Saints-type running back no. when he got here. He was more of an in-between-the-tackles kind of. Matter of fact, I'm like, man, is he supposed to be tough or strong? And he didn't strike me as being as strong.
No.
Now that being a running back is more than just man-on-man, being stronger than him and running him over, because you're not going to win a lot of battles like that. It's getting them on their heels. So, like, for instance, a guy like Kamara can run over you because you get an open field. And it's like, is he going to cut left or right? And what you have to do, you're on your heels because you have to, you don't get to stand on the balls of your feet
right.
and lunge into him. And so when he decides, no, I'm just going right over you, you're already standing flat-footed, and there's nothing you can really do about it.
One wrong one.
Right, right. Yeah. So where a guy like Mark Ingram, well, and I'm using him as maybe in the past, somehow or another, I think you just mentioned it, his game has evolved. Yeah. And now he catches guys off balance
yep.
more often.
Yep.
And he seems to be more powerful than he used to be. I don't think it's all weight and strength that he put on. I think it's he runs with a different lean. He runs in a different – I don't know how
to
explain
it. I think he's watched alpine skiing. I think that's what it is.
You know what I think? Skiing. I think he's watched Alvin Kamara.
I was going to say that.
Because these guys have developed a heck of a bond, as we've seen in the interviews and all and off
Absolutely.
The field and whatever. And, you know, I think he's picked up some tricks from the new guy.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying – the meeting
and vice versa.
Meeting they're doing the iPad thing. The only problem is if they could take Deion Sanders out, I would enjoy it a lot more. Hey, it's 97.7. We didn't get any of the good and bad and ugly in, but we'll get that a little bit later in the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We've got John Hendricks on the line.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast. Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Listen, I have John Hendricks on the phone from the Canal Street Chronicles. John, last week we went in off of an 8-game winning streak. We lost one game, and it made the Panthers game this past Sunday huge. Now we have a little breathing room after winning 31-21. We controlled that game from the onset, John.
Yeah, it was great to see, you know, from the start that the Saints, obviously, they got the ball first and was able to, you know, march down the field. And, man, you just can't say enough about Alvin Kamara, how awesome and how special he is. You know, Panthers answer right back. Mark Ingram tears it up on the ground, you know, after the team's traded some three and outs and such and kind of set the Saints up. And, look, they were in a good position, you know, up 21-7, I think it was, and kind of go for a kill shot, if you will, and didn't really work out as the way they wanted to. Panthers come back. But, look, I think given what they were able to do with the Panthers on the ground, plus find success in the air and be successful on defense to limit that offense of the Panthers to less than 300 yards is a very impressive feat given how they played the past two games.
Well, hey, listen, I have some statistics here I thought were super interesting because when I look at the Panthers, I think of them as a good defense. But I didn't realize that the Panthers are fourth in the NFL at 17.3 points per game given up. And they were first in the NFL in 280 yards total offense. You know, against them, they're number one in defense. And against the Saints, they've given up 32.5 points and 381 yards. My point is that the Panthers have an outstanding defense, and maybe we don't appreciate, or maybe I should say speak for myself and say I didn't appreciate how good the Panthers really were. And while we didn't necessarily dismantle them, we controlled the game the entire way, which is impressive.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, it's a rarity because they picked up their first sweep since that 2011 season over the Panthers. And, you know, they've always been a problem that, you know, past few games in the Dome, I think the past six, you know, or at least 30-something plus points on the winning side. And, you know, that's usually been a fight, two back-to-back 41-38 games. So to see them come in and for the Saints to absolutely isolate them, control them the way they wanted to, King Crawley playing extremely well with no Marshon Lattimore. And, you know, even on the offensive side, you didn't have Tron Armstead in there playing. Andres Pete got victimized a little bit, but him and Senyo Kelemete on the left side did a great job. Ryan Ramczyk, Larry Warford are outstanding on the right side. And I think Max Unger has been very quiet, but I think that's a great thing for this team.
Absolutely. That offensive line has really been the foundation of all the good things that we're doing this year. Listen, we got a little breathing room, but tomorrow night we're going to Atlanta, and I think this is going to be a different kind of matchup. So you always talk about all these games are matchups. It's all about matchups. The Saints match up really well against the Carolina Panthers. I'm not sure the matchups are as good versus Atlanta with their passing game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is where you really think Marshawn Lattimore is really going to be needed, because you got Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Austin Hooper. You got some big receiving threats out of the backfield and Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman. And it's Matt Ryan. I mean, look, you want to downplay the Falcons in any way possible, because I get it. It's rivalry. It's the Saints fans and such about it. But this team is still very potent. They're very much in the mix for the playoffs right now. You know, they're on the outside looking in, which obviously is something to pay attention to as we get, you know, closer to the end of the season. But look, I don't think you can sleep on a team like the Falcons at all, especially in Atlanta. I don't care what the stats or what the history says. It's going to be another NFC battle, NFC South battle, short week. And we'll see who has the better game plan for sure.
Well, now, I've always heard, and it kind of makes sense, that going into a short week, the more physical team has the advantage. And I think the way the Saints are running the ball, if they can find a way to really emphasize that running game, and we've talked about this a lot, it just depends. You know, with Atlanta scoring, I worry that we could be getting back into a Rams situation where I feel like the Saints felt they need to score more and they got away from the running game. I think it's imperative for the Saints to try to establish a run game and control the game from the physical standpoint.
Yeah, what comes to mind for me is that Buffalo game where they just absolutely just kept getting to the second and third level with ease and just having so much success on that ground. And look, I think the Falcons defense, their front seven is a good unit. I think that they're going to key on some of those things with the run. But at the same time, when you have somebody like Alvin Kamara versus Mark Ingram coming in, you know, you'll see the Falcons run 7, 8, 9 men in the box if they want against Ingram. And, you know, if they get loose and play against Kamara, that's where the Saints can really take advantage. But, look, I'm with you. I think this game is going to be one in the trenches. I'd love to see Mark Ingram just absolutely take it to him. I think he's going to be a huge success or piece to success for this Saints team and how they can get a win tomorrow night in Atlanta.
And, you know, taking it to a bigger picture, we're kind of getting away from the Saints here. But as far as the playoff picture, we also have Philadelphia going to the Rams. Now, that's going to be a game that's going to have a huge impact on the landscape of the NFC's playoff picture. Any thoughts on that, John?
Yeah, you got that one. And plus you have the Vikings going to play the Panthers. So that's going to be another one to watch too. But look, you know, if the Rams can win against the Eagles, suddenly that's kind of plays into the favor of the Saints. Look, I think you're looking at the team to beat in the NFC right now is the Vikings, just because of what they've been able to do and how Case Keenum has just kind of taken it to another level, right? And he's got that stellar defense behind him. So I really am curious to see how the Panthers do, first of all. But, look, I think the Rams team is strong. Obviously, we saw how the Saints did against them. I think the Eagles will try to have some type of formula or replicate some type of success that the Saints had in the ground game and the air game and try to use that to their advantage. But look, I'm interested to see how they do after that loss to Seattle, and we're going to find out if this Eagles team is real or not.
Well, I want to piggyback off of something you just said about Minnesota. Early in the season, I did not think much of Minnesota outside of being a solid team with a solid defense, especially with the quarterback situation. But they have earned it, in my opinion. They're the best team in the NFC, and we'll find out a lot more about them going into Carolina. Having said that, I just don't know if the matchup in Carolina, I think that it feeds right into the hands of Minnesota. Looking at the way that the schedule is breaking down with Philadelphia playing the Rams, I see Philadelphia losing that game. Call it just a gut instinct. I think the matchups are there. And Minnesota, to me, already looked like the best team. I think they'll end up with, if they're not already, are they already in the number one seed? I think they are.
Yeah, they are.
I think they'll grow that margin a little bit more this weekend, because I think they'll be able to beat Carolina, and I see the Rams winning. And the Saints have to keep winning, and we have to hope for some different scenarios from these teams on the outside to be able to try to possibly get that first round bye, which would be huge because the Saints play so much better in the dome.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I'm with you. I think you said it. You hit the nail on the head when you said the Saints have got to take care of their own business first and worry about the rest later. I mean, that's just where we're at right now. You can't look at what if this team does that, what if that team does this. You know, Saints just need to keep playing their style of football, take it one game at a time, and let the rest take care of itself. But I'm with you. If they can get playoff games in the Superdome, that atmosphere, you know, being there on Sunday, it was very electric. And it was kind of crazy because how loud it was, I think it tipped over 110 decibels in the Superdome, but it sure felt like it was a hell of a lot louder than that.
Yeah, when the Dome gets rocking, when the Saints are winning, I don't think there's a better home field advantage, and I know I'm not the first person to say that, but there are a lot of good places to play, a lot of places that are loud. A lot of it has to do with winning. The Saints have not been winning over the last couple of years. It doesn't give the fans that to give that extra, you know, energy and excitement that they get now that the Saints are playing well. So it's going to be important. Now, as long as things stay on track and the Saints take care of the business, we're going to get a home field, a home game. The thing is to get that home field advantage so that they can get even a first-round bye.
I would love to see him come in at the number two seed because, look, looking down the line, I could see a team like the Packers who, you know, they got Cleveland this week, and then they get Aaron Rodgers back the week after that. They're a team you can't sleep on, so if they get into the playoff mix, you know how it is with the Packers. They're one of those teams where they might not be that impressive, but they just hit a different gear when it comes to the playoffs.
John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. John, thank you for coming in, man. We appreciate you.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
Take care, brother. 97.7.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
That chapstick there, you might want to send some to Alvin Kamara. Did you see his
interview? Oh my God,
he had an interview just before I left the house, and his bottom lip is split open, man, from when he hit the ground head first. Yeah. Got a big old hickey on the bottom lip.
97.7 Sports Talk Radio, Rustin and Monroe. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. What's that?
Border to border.
Border to border,
from
coast
Texas
to
Mississippi.
From the what is that? The Gulf to whatever, Sabine River. No, it's not. No, I just, that's the first thing that came to my mind. It's not the Sabine River? No. I mean, you act
so,
like
I'm agreeing with you.
You're from New Orleans, man. You try to act like you know what's going on in the South, you know. But
that river's on the west side.
I know. I told you, short notice. I didn't get time to prepare. I didn't know. Just the first name that came to my mind. I like it went like Pearl River or something like that. That'd be in Mississippi.
That's a Mississippi time.
Yeah, right. So anyway, hey, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew here having a good time. The Saints won 31-21. We didn't get to our good, bad, and ugly, so I think we need to jump right into that.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
Dying is not much of a living. I haven't tried it, but I'm...
It's time for dating the bad and the ugly.
I thought it was dying once upon a time, but that's okay.
Hey, listen, Kamara, like that, I'm watching the game, and I thought that was pretty much the last play the Saints ran outside of victory formation. And I wish he wouldn't have took that hit. I mean, he tried to jump over a guy, and this is why they don't do it.
Yeah.
Keep your feet.
Yeah.
I mean, he lands on his face.
Yeah.
And then the rest of his body just kind of crunches down, and it's like funny or like, oh, yeah. But that's how you get a compression. What is the thing that Shazier?
Spinal compression.
Yeah, you get a spinal compression or something like that. Or, you know, he pops up. He's young. You know, he's like, it didn't bother me.
And he reminded me of Terry Bradshaw at that moment because he got up and he spit out blood.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And then he's on the sideline. Oh, man, the guy, you know,
he was rubbing something on it on the side, some kind of.
I think it was ice.
Something
to stop it from bleeding.
Oh, stop it from bleeding. Like, cut me, Mick.
Yeah,
cut
right.
me.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So rubbing that Vaseline on there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
All right. So, Heath, you can start us off, man. Give us your good.
The good has got to be a shout out to the best.
Future quarterback.
Yeah, the best special teams playing quarterback that the league's ever seen, I think, huh?
All right, I got a problem with this. I got a problem with this.
What is it, Taysom?
Taysom Hill.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah. I mean, they blew that thing, completely out of...
He did have one good one.
He had a couple of good plays. I'm not saying it wasn't bad,
but
what I'm saying is, like, I mean, he didn't run down there and just decleat somebody. Like, the one they got all fired up, and he comes running out of the pile... He kind of ran down, got around a guy, and stuck his arm out and tripped him.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he comes running out of pile, and, oh, look at Taysom. And I think by that point, I had already looked at it. It's like, man, this is kind of a joke now. And I think that's what they were doing. Even the commentators were like, oh, look at who it is.
Yeah.
But the most interesting thing that came out of that, and Coach Payton has since backed off of it, he told those guys, the commentators,
yeah,
that our future quarterback, the Saints' future quarterback, is already in the building, and he was talking about Hill. So what does that mean? Okay, he already backed off of that. But having said that, he obviously thinks a lot about the guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, are we sure he was talking about Hill? I mean, maybe he meant Daniels.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, okay.
You know, so maybe he meant somebody sitting in the stands.
Yeah.
It's already in the building.
He's in the building.
Got 50,000 to choose from.
Osweiler was there watching the game.
Oh my goodness.
Lord help us.
No, but I mean, I could tell you this, how great it really was on special teams, and we do know a couple of things. They said he was fast. He's fast.
He is fast.
Because he outran everybody else down there.
Yeah.
I think the thing about it was just how many times are you going to ever see a quarterback playing special teams?
Not often. I mean, I can't remember who it was, but there is a Pro Bowl level quarterback who's already retired out of the game, and I'm thinking maybe Favre or something, that at one point he was like, Coach, I want to play. So I remember an actual quarterback getting in the game and playing special teams. Now, I don't remember making any plays, but, you know, so that does say something because the guy, he's
on the punt
about
play,
what,
he definitely beat the guy out.
Talking about 4-3.
4-4.
4-4.
Yeah.
I mean, man, the guy's
flying. 4-4 is fast.
Yeah. So, and the thing is, you telling me he's 27 years old. He went on a mission.
Yeah.
So what leaves to me something open to say that, well, maybe he is a very good quarterback, but the fact that he's 27, teams like, look, I'm not going to try to develop a guy. But at some point, we even have a tweet where, let's see, Major Sky Prox 21, he said, based on what we've seen so far, where do the Saints spend next year's draft picks? I think every year that's where we start the offense, the offseason.
Tight end has got to be one of them.
Tight end's got to be one of them.
Or two of them.
You know, but, man, where does quarterback fall into
that?
Now, listen, I'm not trying to say Drew Brees washed up, but at the end of the day, we need to start thinking about the future of the position.
Yeah.
It seems like we filled a lot of holes, and you might say, and again, depends on where the season goes.
Right.
We win the Super Bowl, now you're like, well, let's look at let's say we go to the NFC Championship game and lose. Now we're going to be like, man, we need to get that linebacker, and we need to get that, and you're not going to want to spend the capital on quarterback. But Tomas, any ideas right now? One guy. No, let's make it two. Well, we don't have a second round draft pick. Okay, so where do you spend your first round draft pick next year?
Believe it or not, I think I spend my first round draft pick next year on either linebacker or cornerback.
Corner? Okay. You said tight end?
Well, I don't necessarily.
If there is no tight end that's worth
a one. Yeah, first round.
Well, and again, obviously there's so many things. There may not be a player of that caliber at that. I'm just saying, generically speaking, I'm looking at.
So we kind of talked. We hit on this, I think, a little bit last week. Possibly tackle again. And it's not going to be real popular with anybody.
No, man.
At this point, I just don't know.
I don't know.
Guard if they like what Pete's doing out there. And they say, hey, we think Pete's actually ready to stick out there.
Pete has played really well, admirably, for a guy who's filling in for an injured player.
Yeah.
He is not a left tackle.
Yeah.
Gives it too many pressure. And not to mention, then you'd be losing him at guard. I mean, he is an absolute mauler.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I agree with you.
But I can see – okay, I can't see it happening because of Teron Armstead's contract, and the fact that I just don't see the team saying, hey, we got to – I just can't see it. But having said that, the way the offensive line has played this year, I wouldn't be as upset as I would have been in the past.
Yeah.
I'd say, hey, man, you know.
But you're asking first round. And so just based on – and I really haven't – and I've just sort of on
no,
the
it's
surface
again,
looked
generic.
At what's up
no,
there.
No need to get into names.
You
it's
know,
just
– I would just say to you that – you're talking about Pete. Pete can be, and I say he will be, an all-pro guard.
I think he should be.
I really believe that. He's just an average to good tackle. He'll never be an all-pro at tackle.
Right.
So, to me, his position, we've decided. It's guard. Okay? If, as a big if, our starting left tackle makes it back and can stay healthy for...
Well, and I think that's what we're talking about. Is
then we don't have to worry. We have him on that side. Ramchick is definitely right tackle.
Yeah, nobody's drafting a tackle. Hey, nobody's drafting a tackle.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
He can't. I'm convinced at this point that Teron Armstead cannot come back and stay healthy for any extended amount of time.
Well, then you have to start developing someone. Yeah. And I don't think they'll spend the first round pick on a tackle, really on anybody in offensive line, unless there's just some spectacular player like Lattimore that falls into that spot where they are.
Yeah.
But
well,
I
mean, at 32, it's going to be, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be much. So that's why I say I think they'd probably go linebacker. Again, same thing, the injury issue. You know, can Anzalone actually recover and be a starting player for several years?
Yeah.
I don't know. At this point, I have my doubts.
Yeah.
So, you know, Klein, a lot of people say he's a bust. I think he's done fine. I don't think he's done bad at all.
He is not a bust.
Let me jump on that real quick, because some fan site, and I can't even remember which one it was, wrote an article suggesting that that Klein was a bust, and it's just ridiculous. Now, is he a great player? No, I don't believe he is. But is he is a good, solid NFL linebacker.
No doubt.
Now, listen, how much better would he be if we brought in some guy that, let's just say, all-pro type linebacker? Because I do believe we need a difference maker at that spot. But Klein is a good player, and now I'm starting to see it. Now one guy says it, then I'm seeing a guy on a forum say it, and I'm seeing a guy on Twitter say it.
But that's why I said there are some people who are saying it. I disagree.
Oh, okay.
But with what you would say, I'd say this. Imagine if you had Anzalone on one side and somebody comparable to Anzalone on the other side, and then you had Klein in the middle.
Right.
What would that make Klein suddenly?
He would be a much better ball player. Right.
Yeah,
no,
there
absolutely.
It's what you surround yourself with.
Absolutely.
You know? So that's why I say I think a linebacker.
Or
Robertson
even
is
possibly if he's not in the middle.
Yeah,
if
well,
you got a world beater at the middle and Klein goes over to strong side or somewhere else, he might be.
That's possible too.
You know.
But that's why I say linebacker, because Robertson's only going to last so much longer. Klein's only actually going to last so much longer. The only young youth you've got there is Anzalone.
Well, I don't think any of them. I'm not exactly sure how old Robertson is, but
maybe
Klein's only like 26.
Six or seven.
They're still in their prime. You still got two or three, you know, like their prime years left in them. So I don't think that's the case. I'm talking about when you find that guy that is a difference maker.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how old Robertson or Klein or Anzalone is. This guy's just better than all of them. It's like bringing in Kamara at linebacker and you say, yeah, these guys are good, but one of y'all needs to move over because you now have a guy that's just significantly better.
Yeah,
so. All right, Tomas, give me your good.
All right, you're not going to believe what good I'm going to have.
You won't believe it.
You won't believe who I'm going to pick. There is a man on offense who has really not gotten his just due.
Can't imagine.
Because he's not the guy that sort of sticks out. But if you watch the film, on that long run by Ingram and on the long run by Kamara, there was one guy.
Oh, here we go.
One guy who was laying lumber, and it wasn't a big offensive lineman. It was a tall, skinny guy.
All right, get to it. We're at the end of the segment.
Yep. Number 16.
Yep. He had two catches, so it's one a day plus iron.
Plus iron.
On that particular play, not only did he get a point of attack block,
then he turned around,
runs up the field.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
And Coleman – well, he kind of tripped over himself.
Tripped,
but the fact that he hustled down there, I tell you what, he is now doing what I hoped he would do. He's turned into a guy that's contributing. He's catching a few balls.
Absolutely.
And now he's playing strong. He doesn't always play strong catching the ball, but now he's playing strong in the running game. Hey, it's 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two, straight ahead. Hey, don't forget to download and listen to Hour Number Two. And if you like the podcast, don't forget to like us, friend us, follow us, and let the rest of the world know that we're out here. We appreciate you guys.